You're listening to Money Never Sleeps Radio. In your face.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You know what I mean?
Money to be made in a place like this.
Money never sleeps, pal.
You're crazy. Don't run when you lose. Don't whine when it hurts.
You know what it takes to sell real estate?
It takes brass.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
All right, welcome to Money Never Sleeps. This is a show where we talk about anything and everything that impacts the flow of money from around the corner to around the world. And I want to thank you for joining us today. The topic for the show today is going to be stock tokenization. And the reason being is that it's really, really exploding. And I'm going to go through what it is and the different variations and how derivatives work into this. I want to go through this stuff and hopefully give you some insight. Look, stock tokenization is no longer something that's experimental. That's what happened. They were experimenting with it, seeing if it can work and seeing how it would work. So now we're talking about a structural shift in global market infrastructure. And that's the reality of it. You know, tokenized stocks, they're either one of two things. They're either real equities that are held in custody, wrapped on chain, you know, like B stocks, they have it on the BNB chain. X stocks, you know, which is Kraken, they have it on multiple chains. But at the end of the day, it is wrapped. It's a token that is wrapped, just the same way you would wrap Bitcoin on Ethereum and the like. Or the alternative is that you have synthetic derivatives that only mimic price exposure. Two different things. All right, the difference really determines the legal rights, the regulatory treatment, counterparty risk, and systemic impact. Right now, as I mentioned, B stocks and X stocks, they both tokenize real equities, real stock, but their architecture differs in custody, regulatory clarity, and on-chain behavior. I'm going to address that as we move throughout the show. Okay, but now let me just go over what stock tokenization actually is. They're basically blockchain-based representations of publicly listed equities. Doesn't matter where it is. It can be the New York, NASDAQ, and I'm sure that OTC markets can have it. It can be on Euronext. It can be anywhere, actually. And what it does is giving 24/7 trading. Wall Street was fearful of this for the longest time. Investors, traders, fearful. Why? If something is trading 24/7 and you are a trader, back maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that means that you would have to, you know, be on the clock all the time, or have, you know, different parties there that, you know, kind of can jump on the bandwagon when you had to go and feed your dog or go to sleep. Now things are different, you know, with the likes of Citadel and Jane Street and whatnot that have, you know, either quant trading. They have a lot of computerization, AI techniques going into the game, and that is what makes 24-hour, 7-day-a-week trading so attractive, because it's not about a human staying there and trading. It's about having the algos in place to trade for you. And the thing about this, you know, with having tokenized stocks, you're talking about instant settlement. Not T plus one, not T plus zero, not T plus end of the day. It's T plus, you know, that next second, and it's done. And you can have programmable corporate actions involved in there as well, to kind of lay out exactly what is going on there. Okay, now, there are three major models that we have in the market right now. The first one, you have, you know, one-to-one backed tokenized stocks. They are real equity wrappers. Real equity. Okay, like B stocks and X stocks, I mentioned that earlier. They're real shares that are purchased and held by a regulated custodian. The tokens, they represent the economic exposure to those shares. Basically, they represent the shares saying, hey, we have this stock in custody, and this is the token, go have fun. They're throwing their ball on the field. Dividends, they flow through these. It's a rebasing system that credits the whatever wallet or whatever account has them. And again, each token is different because each stock is different, right? You know, the takeaway from that is that you have no voting rights at all. If the stock has voting rights, you have the token, you do not. It changes. All right. And the reason being is that the stock, the actual stock, is held by the company. So if it's Binance, they have the actual stock. If it's X stocks, Kraken has the stock, they have the stock. So it's for all intents and purposes, they own it. They're just tokenizing it. So, you know, the voting rights stick with them. And it is what it is, right? Now the next one is a fund and a vehicle wrapper, right? Basically, this is a token that represents a share in a pooled fund holding equities. So you have a fund that holds these equities, and you have the wrapper that wraps the fund, and it's tokenized. You know, and the exposure is NAV based, you know, net asset value based, not direct share based. It's different. You see some of that out there, okay? But they, you know, that's not the main play, you know, even though it could be, you know, you have ETFs and everything. Anyway, you know, synthetic tokenized stocks, derivatives, they're not real shares that are held. What they do, they're tokens that track the price via derivatives or oracles. You know, there's a higher kind of party risk if it's not backed by anything. So basically, if you have synthetic tokenized stocks, okay, then just make sure that, you know, they have a treasury attached to them. So at least it's kind of like, you know, guaranteeing that, right? It's collateralizing it. If you have a token that's a synthetic token and there is no treasury attached to it, then it should raise a lot of questions, because an exchange that just has that on their system, if it's for internal reasons, okay, it's not something that's portable. But if it's a token that's portable and other things are happening there, you know, you have to really think about it. Again, you know, with Binance and Kraken, you know, they're backed. Their tokenized stocks are backed by the actual stock. If you have synthetic, it may not be backed by the stocks, but it should be collateralized at the very least, you know, by the native token of that blockchain that is built on, at the very least, okay? And that's an important factor. So make sure you look into that when you're looking at the derivatives, you know, of tokenized stocks. All right. Now, this is the difference, and I went through it already, between tokenized stocks and tokenized derivatives. Look, tokenized stocks, the shares really exist in custody. Okay, tokenized derivatives, there's really no underlying shares. Okay. Tokenized stocks, you have the token, they have the economic claim on those shares, blah blah blah. It's just saying that the shares back that token, end of story. That you actually have claim to those shares. I guess if they have some sort of conversion feature, you can get the shares instead of the token. I don't know. You know, it depends on what they're doing. And with derivatives, you know, it's pure price exposure. There are no dividends on derivatives, no corporate action rights, nothing going on there. On tokenized stocks, tokenized equities, dividends flow right through there, right through the whatever the company's holding in custody, and it flows through. But, you know, and then again, they have a rebasis thing that they do in order to distribute those that yield, those dividends, appropriately. Tokenized stocks, you know, redemption may or may not be allowed. It depends on the issuer, right? You know, this is what I was saying, is that, you know, some may say, okay, you can swap the token for the stock. They may have that. They may not. It all depends. All right? And this is where, you know, things get a little interesting, because, as I said, you have the custodians. Whoever has custody of the stock, they own the stock. It's there. And you're going and issuing the token. So, but you have the stock. Just like if you have the gold, you're issuing a token. You have the gold, you own it, but you're tokenizing, you're fractionalizing it, so more people can have it, and you can monetize it. You know, but in some cases, when you're talking about I guess some type of tokenization, having that redemption option is probably always good. It doesn't always happen. You just have exposure to it, saying that if things go the wrong way, the stock's here or the commodity's here, and it backs the token. And that's it. Now, that's why I said that a token, even if it's a derivative and it's basically representing a share of whatever, okay, it should be accompanied by a treasury. Yeah, again, even at the very least, the native token of that blockchain that it's built on. Now, let's go over BStocks, which is from Binance. The issue is BTEC. They have their custody through a pack of securities, and they also have a clearinghouse. So it makes it a little cleaner for them. Their backing is one-to-one with real shares held in regulated custody, as I mentioned. Dividends, they're reinvested via a multiplier. Now, how that actually works, I don't know 100%. I would, you know, if you're gonna buy a B stock, I would find out about that. They do this. All these tokens are created on the BNB Smart Chain, the BEP 20. But what it does, it allows for 24-hour trading. The big plus there is that Binance has a massive ecosystem, massive. Okay, so that retail access is ridiculous. So when they do list the stock there, it'll get exposure just the same way crypto will get an exposure. All right, so now you have XStocks. Okay, XStocks is backed by Finance AG. You know, basically you have custody, that is, you have regulated custodians there. You have independent security agent in place for this stuff. It's fully collateralized. They have tracker certificates. It's interesting what they do, okay? And they have on-chain rebasing, which is different than Binance. So it's different than the BStocks. Again, I would learn more about that. What they do, as opposed to it being just on one chain, they issue it across multiple chains. Now, how they have it, I don't know. However, the way I look at it, you have only so much shares that are out there. So if you have 100,000 shares in custody and you're issuing tokens on a blockchain, does that mean that you can issue 100,000 shares worth of tokens on every blockchain? I don't know. You know, something to look into for you sleuths out there. And you know, this is institutional grade infrastructure. It could go DeFi, which, you know, would be interesting and provide more reach. BStocks, as I said, they're back one-to-one by real stock. Custody, BStocks, you have Alpaca Securities, again, clearinghouse and whatnot. XStocks, Swiss regulated custodians. They have different issuer, the structure, okay, it's different. Their dividends, they, you know, multiplier for BStocks, rebasing, on-chain rebasing for XStocks. The regulatory clarity for BStocks is medium to medium rare, maybe. XStocks is high because of, you know, they're dealing with Swiss regulations, and in the US they're dealing with stuff too. The DeFi integration on BStocks is very limited. On XStocks, it is deep. They utilize it for collateral, LP, structured products, and the like. It's pretty interesting. The redemption, you know, it's not fully defined on BStocks. On XStocks, you have contractual claim to it. You know, whether they allow for the redemption, I can't say, you know. But I would assume that you would be able to, I would imagine. This is why tokenized equities are going to grow. You know, you have derivatives like you have with Hyperliquid, you have with Binance, you have with Hootex, you have with other exchanges that allow you to trade with leverage. And you don't need the stock for that. It's just, you know, you have basic exposure, pricing exposure, but you're able to use leverage. Every system, every platform is different. It can go 5X, 10X, 20X, some have 50X. But it can amplify your gains, but it can amplify your losses. So be careful with that, right? Be careful with that. Now, tokenization is exploding, okay? And this number is going to be crazy. Year-on-year growth, okay, from last year to this year, 29,000%. 29,000. Went from 35 million to 1.2 billion in a year, and that's thanks to the likes of XSOX and BSOX and the like. And now you're gonna have more of that. You're gonna have the New York, you have NASDAQ, you're gonna have, you know, DTC is doing something to Treasury. So this spans a lot more than just the equity markets. But I'm just talking about that on this show right now. The big drivers: 24-hour, 7-day-a-week trading, 365. You know, a lot of people just want it, especially if you have systems that trade on your behalf. You know, and frequency is everything, right? When you're trading. So if you're trading and you're running these trades and you're grabbing, you know, penny here, penny there, at the end of the day, it all adds up. And because you have instant settlement, you can just poof, you can go on to the next deal, right? Really quickly, within an instant. The fractional shares comes in handy as well, because you have something that's trading $1,000, you know, and you may not have that, but you can have a fractional part of that in a tokenized fashion. Global access. This is available all over the world. That's part of why this growth is happening. People want access, so they're getting access. Okay, and you can program whatever corporate actions are in the token. And this is, again, the drivers of this. One of the biggest drivers is the integration with DeFi and the institutional alignment. Beautiful. Beautiful. And this is what's going to transform everything. All right. This is the first time that traditional equities can move around with crypto-like liquidity. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, so the pressure doesn't rely on the market makers. If you have central limit order books and the like, and if you have, and what I mean by market makers, when you're trading a stock, you have certain market makers in play, you have dark pools and the like. So this is going to change that a bit. You know, you have some broker dealers that are ATSs and with ECNs and the like. You know, is that going to change what they're doing? No, I think they're going to get more intense with it. I really do, because this is the tokenization and the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week trading changes everything. Now, if you look at this and you say, well, that's great, you're telling me this stuff, but what's this going to do to the traditional markets? I mean, is this going to transform it? Is it going to change it? Is this, you know, flash in a pan? What is it? No, it's a forever thing. It's a forever thing. The traditional markets have changed forever. Okay, the traditional T+1, T+2 settlement, incompatible with 24/7 tokenized markets. It changes everything. Real-time clearing, on-chain collateral management, automated corporate actions, boom. It happens just like that and that quickly when everything's on-chain. All right, and brokerages, now they become custodians and they become token issuers. How do you like that? Robinhood, Coinbase, Kraken, Binance, they are doing this already. They're issuing tokenized equities. Okay, Robinhood was doing it overseas. They didn't want to do it here. And when that happens, the explosion is going to continue. This is basically putting every major broker dealer on notice. It's putting the banks on notice. This is why they're blocking or preventing the Clarity Act from passing. Okay, it's very interesting, but you know, when you have exchanges, when they start offering on-chain settlement rails, which they are, okay, and you're going to have ETFs and mutual funds, they're going to be the next to tokenize. When you see all this stuff happening, you know, by the time you see it, you already missed the boat, because it's already happening. It's happening now. It's been happening over the past year. It's been leading up to this. All right, you have global liquidity pools. They're going to replace regional exchanges. There's no question about it. Okay, tokenized equities, they trade 24/7 globally. They will, right? This breaks the monopoly of the New York NASDAQ trading hours, and this is why the New York and NASDAQ, they want to tokenize. They want to get in front of this, because if not, you wind up being the blockbuster. You wind up being the blockbuster to the Netflix, which is now the tokenized sphere, right? And if you don't know who Blockbuster is, well, that's the point, right? They have one store left, and they were the biggest in the world. Corporate actions, they become smart contracts. You can't hide it. This is traceable, transparent, everything. Dividends, you have rebasing, you have splits, the automatic supply adjustment, buybacks, on-chain, burn events, boom, it happens that quickly, that immediate. The regulatory convergence, this is where it gets interesting. You have Switzerland, Singapore, Hong Kong, they're leading in this convergence. The U.S. will follow once custody and transfer agent rules adapt. Once that happens, you're going to have a follow-through because it makes sense. You know, President Trump wants the U.S. to be the crypto capital of the world, and that includes tokenization. Now, the tokens aren't crypto, but they are built on blockchain. So, you know, when you're talking about crypto, you're talking about tokenization. It's like one and the same, even though they act differently. It's still that same premise, right? Now, how are the Coinbases and the Binances of the world and the Krakens, all this stuff, how are they going to benefit? Well, they're going to have new revenue streams. And even New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ, they're going to benefit new revenue streams. Tokenized equity, trading fees, custody fees, issuance fees, on-chain corporate action processing fees, FIFO, FUM. That's what's going to happen. Okay, they're going to be making money hand over fist more than they're doing now. But as far as the holders are concerned and the ones that are trading, the companies, I think it's going to cost them less to do things. All right? Now, the 24/7 global liquidity, that comes into play. The centralized exchanges, they become the new after-hours market. Years ago, you had the Pecos, that was pretty much your after-hours, and then you had other things going on, and it started evolving, and people were going home, having food, playing with their kids, and watching TV, and getting up, and going at it again, and getting ready to, you know, for the bell to ring at 9:30. You know, that's all going to change. I wonder what's going to happen in New York. Are they going to have an opening bell anymore? That's going to be interesting. Anyway, vertical integration for centralized exchanges. I don't care. New York, NASDAQ, Binance, you know, Coinbase, Robinhood, whatever's going on, they're going to have vertical integration. Has to be. Custody, issuance, trading, settlement, DeFi integration. This is the holy grail of exchange economics. And it's happening. They're setting it all up. Now, you have decentralized exchanges. Well, that has been reserved mostly for crypto, but that is going to change. Okay, it's not just going to be, you know, crypto tokens. You're going to have equities. You're going to have other things going on there. You're going to have real world assets. They're going to enter DeFi, tokenized stocks, real estate, and the like. You know, they can be utilizing in collateral and then lending markets, components, and structured products. You know, limited partner assets and AMMs, if they're going to stake that, they can be used in perpetuals and options. Okay, so CME, you know, and the like. Yeah, I mean, every exchange, no matter what they do, I don't care what they do, they're going to have to comply. If either that, you comply or you die. So you keep moving forward. Okay, you know, DeFi protocols, you know, what they're going to wind up doing is building tokenized equity indexes, on-chain ETFs, automated hedging, synthetic leverage products, and the like. And you see that now. You see that now with Hyperliquid. They have derivatives. They give you the leverage so you can go trade. Everything's on the system. Hutex is coming out with that as well. You know, Binance has that, but that's more centralized. But still, on a decentralized level, you have this there. Okay, so anyone with a wallet, they're going to be able to trade these tokenized equities. No broker required. You're not going to be getting a call from a retail guy trying to sell you anything. All right? So the big picture is this. What happens next? All right, what happens next? Well, tokenized equities, they're going to become the default settlement layer for global markets. I have no doubt in my mind about this. It's going to happen. All right, traditional exchanges, they're going to remain listing venues, listing, so company can list there. But liquidity will migrate on-chain across the board. So you'll have your listing, where you're going, and they're doing the KYC ML and doing all the stuff they need to do with the SEC and FINRA, whatever they're doing. But the other part of it changes forever. All right. Now, what are you going to expect? Well, you know, I think that, you know, with the tokenized equity market, I think we're going to be sitting at about $20-30 billion by next year. Right? Tokenized ETFs will come probably by sometime late next year. You know, right now, that, you know, tokenized bonds and other debt instruments, we have them right now with the digital credit note tokens, okay, and the private credit tokens, you know, but you're going to see them more mainstream probably towards the end of next year, early the year after, but still they're here, okay, and at the end of the day, I think this total convergence will be complete in, I'm going to say, in the next 3 years. Okay, this is by far the largest transformation of market infrastructure since electronic trading. You know, you went from paper trading to electronic trading, and it's the biggest thing. Look, at the end of the day, guys, you know, the markets that your father knew or your mother knew has changed forever. The markets you knew, they have changed forever. And they're going to continue to evolve until you have a full tokenized economy in regards to the equities. But it's not just equities. I'm telling you, bonds, debt, real estate, derivatives. I mean, you're talking about the derivative market is a, what is it? It's like 800 trillion. It's, they're saying that in the next, you know, year, you're looking at 1.2 quadrillion. And that's just derivatives, right? Just imagine everything else. This is a brave new world, my friends. Enjoy it. Be a part of it. And until next time, I want each and every one of you to have a fantastic trading day. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back with you for another episode of Money Never Sleeps.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're listening to UCW Radio in your face.
What is your major malfunction?
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on Money Never Sleeps Radio are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as financial advice. The host Louis Velazquez and guests of Money Never Sleeps Radio are not licensed financial advisors, and any investment decisions made based on information presented in this podcast are at the listener's own risk. Listeners are encouraged to consult with a qualified financial advisor or investment professional before making any investment decisions. The podcast hosts and guests do not endorse or recommend any specific investment strategies or products. All investments involve risk, and past performance is not indicative of future results.